Let's go to verse 40, chapter number 1. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld it, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's bow our heads and hearts and go to God in the word of prayer. Brother James Esser, good to have you here tonight. Pray for us, brother. Amen. You may be seated. Back over in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 23, verse 8, Jesus said, But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all are brethren. Call no man your father upon earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for there is one, for one is your master, even Christ. The only real master there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you see that term rabbi, it means master. And we found in the last message in verse number 38 that when two of John's disciples came to Jesus and he asked them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi. And then the interpretation is, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And we're looking through the Gospel of John at the subject of the Master's ministry of mastering men. Now, the Gospel of John is the Gospel of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. He said in the latter part, These are written that ye might know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. He is God the Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten Son of God. And throughout the Gospel of John, you're going to see every time the word rabbi or master is attributed to Jesus, He's going to master somebody or something in that situation. If there's anything we know about ourselves, if there's anything we know about others, it's the fact that we need to be mastered. Yes. Just like sheep need a shepherd, you and I need a master to master and minister to our heart. The word master means Lord, overseer, boss, ruler. It has to do with ownership and the right to direct and guide and lead our lives. And truly, if you are saved, you've acknowledged Him as your master. Now, this evening, we look first of all at Jesus mastering our direction. And you look at two of John's disciples had been following Him. And then they went to follow Jesus. And He said, "What seek ye?" And they gave the right answer. They said, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And the Bible says that Jesus said, "Come and see." They came and saw. And they dwelt there. And the Bible said they abode there. And these disciples followed Him the rest of their days. And once you go to the Lord Jesus and you know Him, you won't want to go anywhere else. Thank God He mastered my direction one day and gave me a turnaround. By the way, if He hasn't mastered your direction, then He's not your master. For He said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And that word repent means an about face. It's a direction word. Now, I heard a well-known Bible preacher, supposed to be a Bible preacher, say on one of the gospel radio stations here nearby, he said, "Now, the word repentance is not in the Gospel of John, so it has nothing to do with salvation, just only believe." And when he said that, I just took a read of the Gospel of John, and every time somebody repented, I just put repentance, repentance, repentance. And though the word may not be there, the action's there, the activity, and the work of repentance is in the heart.
Yes, sir.
And here we see these two disciples of John having their direction mastered. They'd been trying to follow, but they weren't going in the right direction. But now that they're on the heels of Jesus, they repented and they're following Him. Well, we see the Lord is going throughout Galilee and up to Bethsaida, and He's calling out men unto Himself. And He's saving souls and calling people to preach. And it's amazing how the Lord touched those that were there in that Galilean region. And it seems that God often lays His hand upon certain areas. He'd done that in our area. This is the heart of the Bible Belt in the South. This western North Carolina, upstate South Carolina area. They say there's more preachers been called in a 100-mile radius of Asheville, North Carolina, than we know anywhere else in the world. And God has just chose to sit down in these mountains, and down through the years He's called and brought out men unto Himself. Well, He chose to do that there in Galilee, and He's raising up some soldiers and an army for Himself. Now, we see these two men got right with the Lord and began to follow Jesus, and one of them was Andrew in verse number 40. Well, immediately what Andrew began to do was get a burden in his heart for others.
Yeah.
And that is a hallmark and a brand of everybody that comes to Christ. They want to share Him and tell Him or tell them about Him, about the Lord Jesus. They, you can't hide it in your heart. First thing I wanted to do after I got saved the next morning going up Green River Road, I met one of my best friends, and he's coming down the river. I'm going up the river. I stopped in a curve right below Cedar Springs Baptist Church, rolled down my window, and I looked over at my buddy. I said, "Hey, James, guess what happened to me last night?" He said, "What?" I said, "I got saved." He said, "Huh?" And he stalked it, floorboarded. He dodged me for the next 2 years or so. Well, later on, God saved him, and now he's a pastor of a Baptist church. Amen. But I wanted to tell him. I told everybody on Green River, man. We had prayer meetings shouting the victory. I visited every home, everybody. I told everybody what the Lord had done, and that is a hallmark. And here's old Andrew. He goes and he finds his own brother in verse 41, Simon. And he saith unto him, "We found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." Now, I don't know that this is where Peter got saved. It is where the Lord revealed to him what he was going to do. Later on, Jesus is walking down by the seashore, and Peter, James, and John are mending their nets. And the Lord said, "I need to borrow your boat, Peter." And he got in his boat and he preached for a while. And after it's over with, Peter had fished all night long. He's wore out and tired. They'd tore up their equipment because they're having to mend their nets. Had a bad night. Going to have to do it all again. And this long-winded preacher's come there and used his boat for a pulpit. Well, he starts rowing back in. The Lord said, no, you're going the wrong way. Launch out into the deep and take a drought of fishes. He said, Master, there it is again. We've toiled all the night long and we've taken nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word. And so he threw out one net. And Jesus said, nets. But that net swelled up with fish, not because of fish trying to get out, but fish trying to get in. The water was boiling with fish. He called his brothers. They came over. They all loaded their boat. And boys, Peter comes to himself looking at that mountain of fish in front of him. He looks and there's Jesus backed up in the corner of the edge of that boat out of the way of flopping fish. And old Peter realizes right then and there who he is. And he said, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And he fell on his knees and he got saved by the grace of God right there. But the Lord did minister a work in his heart there. But then we move on down in verse 43. And it said, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now, notice the different elements that the Lord uses to save sinners. First of all, he brings out two of John's disciples. They've been under the leading man of God's ministry. But that man of God just kept preaching, behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb. And one day they woke up and beheld the Lamb. And they went to follow Jesus for themselves. It wasn't secondhand information anymore. It was a firsthand relationship that they had with the Lord Jesus from thenceforth. Then the next time, the Bible says that one of those guys that got right with God went and found his brother. And he brought his brother to Jesus, and Jesus ministered to him. The next time, here's Philip. Nobody witnesses to him. Nobody invites him. Nobody talks to him. Jesus just went and found Philip and saith unto him, follow me. And Philip followed him. God just boom, and there it was. Now you have three different means and three different ways, but it all came to the very same end. I dare say tonight that each one of us have a testimony, but perhaps we've got a little different testimony. It may be somebody witnessed to you long and hard. It may be the first time you ever heard the gospel. It may be the Lord just woke you up in the middle of the night and shook the daylights out of you and you got saved. I don't know how I did it, but the end result is you got saved by the grace of God. Well, old brother Philip was a Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter, and living in the same town, he heard what Jesus said and did to Andrew and to John. I believe this other disciple that had followed John the Baptist was John the Beloved. And he was living there in town. And those boys had been talking to him too. After he got saved, they'd fellowshipped and all that. Well, the Bible says that Philip went and found Nathanael. And tonight I want to look at Nathanael. And I want to preach on this thought, Jesus mastering our doubts. Jesus mastering our doubts. We talk about doubting Thomas. Well, this is doubting Nathanael. And he had some real doubts, some deep doubts. Yea, they were founded doubts, but the Lord overcame all them. And old Nathanael got mastered before it was over with. Amen. Now, we see that as the Lord used a variety of means from the first time Nathanael speaks, he is full of doubt. For old Philip said, we found the Messiah. We found him who Moses and the law and the prophets spoke of, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And the first thing we hear Nathanael saying is, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's saying, I doubt it. I doubt it. Yeah. And his doubt was really a case that could be made for honesty. He knew what come out of Nazareth. Nazareth is about like Dark Corner, South Carolina. Ain't much good ever come out of there except Billy Kelly. And he moved from Tennessee to go down there to come out. Yeah. I had a buddy who was raised down there, and he said he used to watch the rooster fights and the knife fights and the cussings and shootings and killings and all that through the cracks of the wall in his house. Rough place, rough place. You might know somewhere like that. Most all of us know somewhere like that. Anything good come out of Chicago? Amen. I mean, that's sort of what he's saying. I've seen what come out of that place. Yes, sir. I beheld it. I don't know, boy. You're saying he comes out of Nazareth. And I don't know about all that. And that doubt seemed to overwhelm his heart. But this doubt was an honest doubt. It wasn't just something that he was throwing up as an excuse. It was a real question to him. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? If you can, then prove it to me. Show me. Now, notice number one, the ministry to Nathanael. There Nathanael is, minding his own business. And then God sends old Philip over there to interrupt his life. I'm glad, thank God, I'd mind my own business up on the head of Green River. And one day there's a young preacher come bouncing through the back door of our house. Mama greeted him, said, preacher, come on in. Said, would you like a cup of coffee? And old Brother Rudy Smith said, ma'am, I don't even cuss, much less drink that stuff. Never cracked a smile. Went right on in by, went in there to see my dad, who's backslid on God, witness talked to him. I mean, God just sent him up there. He tried every way in the world to keep from coming to our area. On his trial message, he hopped down the aisle like the Easter Bunny and shot the Easter Bunny. And then he threw a make-believe rope over the rafter and hung Santa Claus. And at that church, they had a big Santa Claus on Christmas to give all the kids presents. And on Easter, they always had the Easter Bunny to hide the Easter eggs over at the Elks Camp. He tried to preach his way out of it. They thought he was cute and funny and voted him in, I think 100%. And so he had to take it. Definitely God sent him there for 16 months to bring the gospel to us. Well, old Philip just sort of busted into the life of Nathanael. Boy, don't you know, Nathanael's thinking, where in the world did this rascal come from? What's he trying to do? But he was a saved man that God used to intervene in somebody else's life. And if you're saved by the grace of God, the Lord will let you be introduced to some lost people. And I've had them look at me and say, what are you after? I said, I'm not after nothing. I'm just telling you what Jesus did for me. I'd love to see you get what I got. That's what I'm, what do you want out of me? I said, well, all I want to see you be blessed like I've been blessed. Know Jesus like I know Jesus. And it just confuses a hound out of them. Why? And they're full of doubt and questions. What do you want? I talked to Sherry Garber the other day. Her and her husband, Steve Ellis, was up in Vermont. They had a neighbor there, and he was trying to be good to that neighbor. And the neighbor would say, what do you want? What are you after? Why are you doing this? He couldn't understand that they were Christians. And as Christians, they were reaching out and trying to help. Well, that ministry came through a saved man. Verse 45, came through a seeking man. Philip findeth Nathanael. And if you find something, that means you got to seek it. Yeah. Sometimes witnessing comes real easy. You'll be put in a situation where you're face to face. You're right there. Other times, man, you got to go out in the community or the neighborhood, knock on doors, hunt them up, look them up, and try to find them. And old Philip had a heart. He knew Nathanael, and he had a heart to go after him and to get him. But we also think about Philip. He was a schooled man. And I get that from the fact he was of the same city of Andrew and Simon Peter. And a lot of his testimony to Nathanael is the exact testimony that was given to Andrew and to Simon Peter. The very same thing. And so those boys had shared that with him. Boy, I thank God for people that have schooled me, educated me, taught me in the ways of God. And we all need to be taught. And we need to be taught how to witness to people and to testify unto folk. But God had a ministry going forth to Nathanael before Nathanael even knew about the ministry. But then secondly, we see the message to Nathanael. Look in verse number 45. We see this message was a message about a person, him. Boy, old Philip was enthralled by Jesus. We have found him. 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 I want to tell you about him. Now, he tells him about who he is later on, but he said, I found a him. Somebody that's more important than any him I've ever read. And the Gospel of John is really a him book. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And our witness needs to be about him. Wouldn't it be something if you got to go out and stop out there at the gas station and say, boy, you should have been over there.
at Landrum Independent last night. Boy, he was there. Who was there? You got an evangelist? No, he was there. What are you talking about? You got a special singer? No, I'm talking about he was there. The only he there is in the whole world is him. And Philip had his mind on him because he found him. He saved him. He redeemed him. And now he is ready to tell somebody else about him.
Amen.
It's easy to talk about Jesus if you're in love with Jesus. Somebody you're fellowshipping with and you're walking with, it just flows out. It was a personal message about him. Secondly, it was a prophetical message. Look in verse number 45 again. He said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, we find that he's saying, this is not an unfounded thing. And one way to deal with doubting people that doubt what you and I have to say is to take them to the prophecies of the Old Testament. We was talking over supper. My brother's telling me about probabilities of Jesus fulfilling all the prophecies. He said he heard somebody say that if you had Texas filled knee-high with quarters and you had a blind man fly over Texas and throwed a quarter in that, then turned him loose to find the quarter he'd just throwed in there, be more likely he'd find that quarter than all the probabilities of Jesus being who he was, of him not being who he was, because all these prophecies point to him, every one of them. When Paul witnessed in the synagogues, he took them back to the Old Testament and he alleged and proved out of the Scripture that this is the very Christ. And one of the greatest things you can do to this doubtful generation is take them back to the Bible. Hundreds of years, read every Sabbath in every synagogue, the prophecies and truths that were minutely fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the only one that could have fulfilled the right time, the right place, the right lineage.
Yes,
amen. And on it goes. I get off on the prophecies now. We'd have be here for a while. From Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 16 all the way down, layer after layer. And as Jesus came on the scene, they all stood up like an army and they saluted him. 60 different references in the Gospel of Matthew. And as it is written, and as it was written, and as the prophet spake, and as it was, and it was fulfilled, and it was fulfilled, and it was fulfilled. Just like soldiers saluting the captain as he comes by, all those prophecies are saying, that's him, that's him, that's him, that's him. Oh, Philip's on target right here now. He said, we found him whom the Moses and the law and the prophets wrote about.
Yes,
he's the fulfillment of all this. Hallelujah, what a witness that was. But then I see thirdly some mistakes that were made in relationship to witnessing to Nathanael. Look in verse number 45. Verse number 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. Number one, he didn't find Jesus. Jesus found him. Now, he started out as an Armenian. Amen. Yeah, we found Jesus. We looked him up. We sought him out. We got him. That's not how it happened. Later on, he's going to learn that. Sometimes it takes a while. When I first got saved, I thought I found him too. You know, I thought, boy, you know, my decision, this, that, and the other. And then I found out, reading the Word of God and growing and maturing a little bit, it wasn't me finding him. It was him finding me. Woo! That's his first mistake. Second mistake was who his father was. He said, we found him, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Well, he was the adopted son of Joseph. But he wasn't a natural born son of Joseph. Joseph wasn't his father. Thank God, God was his father. He was virgin born. Now, Philip hadn't figured all this out. He's going to figure it out later on. He's going to follow Jesus and be real close. Whenever Mary and Joseph comes and find Jesus who's lost and all this, and thy father and I sought thee sorrow, and Jesus said, I must be about my father's business when he's 12 years old. And then later on, they said, you're born of fornication. He said, no, God's my father. And Jesus is the Son of God. But now there was a little mistake made there. And you know what? You don't have to have it all together to be a witness. Some people are like the French. You'll be over there in France. I was there for several months preaching. And you'll be with somebody for, several weeks. And they don't speak any English to you hardly at all. And then you get ready to leave and you tell them, well, bonjour, goodbye. Well, I hope you have a very good trip to America. And you tell your family hello and they'll open up and start talking to you. And I said, I thought you couldn't talk English. Oh, I can't talk English. They feel like, this is the average Frenchman, he feels like if you can't speak French properly to the T, then just keep your mouth shut and don't try. They feel like if you can't speak English to the T, then they need to keep their mouth shut and not even try. Well, there's a lot of folk in the realm of witnessing with that same attitude. Oh, Lord, what if they ask me something about the second coming? Or what if they ask me something about this or something about that? They might ask me a question I don't know. I'm like Dr. Lascelles. He said, I have been stumped many times by a question from a sinner, but I vowed that I'd never be stumped twice by the same question.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And just like you do push-ups to make your upper body strength stronger, you get out there and wrangle with this world and let them test your faith.
Yes,
and it's going to drive you into that book. So you'll figure out why you believe what you believe and the basis of what you believe. But don't be afraid. You might make a few mistakes along the way. Philip made a few mistakes in his witnessing. But you know what? Oh, Nathaniel, he got on him now. We see the mockery of Nathaniel. He picked up on some of this stuff and he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That was his conclusive question. He said, I've already judged this thing. I've already seen what comes out of Nazareth, and I just don't believe there's anything good could come out of Nazareth. Somebody out of Nazareth had offended him. And a brother offended is harder to be won than a walled city. And because Jesus came out, that had such a rotten reputation. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what. Old Nathaniel asked him, said, well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Sort of a legitimate question. And then we see it's an accusation. You say he's the Messiah. Well, I question if he's the Messiah, why'd he come out of Nazareth? I've never known anything good come out of Nazareth. You see, he's got to be good to be the Messiah. So I just sort of doubt that. And then a rejection. You think I'm going to follow somebody from Nazareth? You've told me you found the Messiah. You found the one Moses and the law talked about. You want me to follow him? I don't think I'm going to. And old Philip, he pulled one on him right here. He had already heard this now, and I love this. Look at the meekness toward Nathanael. In verse number 37, here was Philip's, or verse number 47. Here was his reply. Let the latter part of verse 46 before you get into 47. He, Philip saith unto him, come and see. Do you think good come out of Nazareth? Well, just come and see. Now, where did he pick that up at? Well, he had heard about two disciples is following John. Come following Jesus, said, Master, where dwellest thou? And Jesus just said, come and see.
Yeah.
So he picked that weapon up out of the arsenal of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
When he got stumped by Nathanael, and old Nathanael said, anything good come out of Nazareth? I just reject that. I don't want anything to do with that. He said, well, let me reach back here and get something Jesus said. I'm going to use a tool he used. Just come and see.
Amen.
You don't have to believe anything I say. Don't take my word for it. You just come on over here and meet him for yourself.
Yeah.
Just come and see. Then you be the judge. Oh, I love this. The meekness of old Philip. Because in that meekness, he used the previous message. He's humble enough to use somebody else's stick to whack a snake.
Right.
Well, I never would preach another man's message. You're an idiot.
Well, I never would tell a man because so-and-so told a man. You just don't have a brain in your head. Amen. Come and see.
Amen.
He said, well, what am I going to say? Well, come and see. Hallelujah. It's a powerful message.
Yes, sir.
And especially to Nathaniel, the kind of guy he was. He wasn't going to take anything at face value. You can say what you want to say. But old Philip, he said, well, I'll turn you over to the Lord. You come and see. Try him out. He's real. Prove him. You'll see. Just like I saw. When he found me, I realized right then who he was. Wasn't anybody convinced Philip. The Lord convinced Philip. And you know what he did? He turned him over to Jesus. Don't be afraid to turn somebody you're witnessing to over to Jesus. Give them all you got. But all you got's probably going to be full of fallacies and maybe have a little error in it and all that. But it comes to the place where you just say, come and see. I'll turn you over to the Lord. Amen. But then look in verse 47. He came and saw. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now we're going to see his mastering ministry begin. The rabbi is at work. I see number one is omniscience as the master. He saw him coming. You ever heard that phrase? Somebody buy an old clunker vehicle. Well, that used car salesman seen you coming. Well, the Lord seen Nathanael coming. Before he ever started that way, the Lord already seen him. Didn't take him by surprise. He knew all things. And through the rest of this story, it's going to be seen that he is the omniscient God. That is, he knows all things. And nothing's going to catch him by surprise. This service didn't catch God by surprise. He's seen you coming. Hallelujah. Then secondly, he's the observant master. The Bible says Jesus declared, looked at him, said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. He acknowledged that he was of the roots of Israel. And he acknowledged that he was a man that had no guile in him. The word guile, it means trickery, cunningness, dishonesty, slyness, sneakiness, conniving, running around the back, being one thing in front of somebody and then another thing in front of somebody else. Jesus looked at him and said, I know you, Nathanael. You don't have guile in you. You're an Israelite that's willing to be honest. And you know what? If you can get an honest sinner to be honest, they'll get saved. All liars are going to find their place in the lake of fire. You got to get honest to get saved. There's a lot of folk hiding behind hypocrisy. They're not what they cracked up to be. They're not what they seem to be. They're full of guile. Oh, they're slippery and sly and cunning, and they think they're getting everybody, the wool pulled over everybody's eyes. But the Lord says, no, 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 you're not like that. And he acknowledged that what he had said was finding its roots in the matter of, I really want to know what the truth is. And if you really want to know what the truth is, when the gospel is preached, you'll get saved. Amen. Then look in verse 48. The Lord is outspoken. The Bible tells us in verse 48, Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. He had another honest question. Whence knowest thou me? How do you know anything about me? You don't even know me. It's the first time we ever met. How'd you know my name? Well, he says, I call my sheep by name. He knew my name before my name was ever named. He named Osiris several hundred years before Cyrus was ever even born. Glory to God, he knew my name before my name was ever even known, before I was ever even conceived in my mother's womb. How do you know me? How do you know my character? How do you know that I'm not full of guile? Oh, praise God. The Lord said, well, I knew you when you was under the fig tree. And boy, that triggered something in him.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if that's where he played at as a kid. I mean, if somebody said to me, Randy, I knew you when you were under the mimosa tree. I'd say, how'd you know that? Because when I was a little boy at our old house, we had a mimosa tree beside the can house. Man, it's got nails and boards nailed up in it and skint bark and everything else. And I played in that mimosa tree. That was my hangout. And if you came up to me and me never having even met you, and you say, oh yeah, I knew you when you were under that mimosa tree. I say, what? How'd you know that?
Yeah.
It may have been where he hung out at. It may have been where he prayed at. I was on a trip up in Nova Scotia, Canada, and providence of God was all in this thing, but me and my son David and his wife Lydia were driving through the countryside in Nova Scotia, and we came down this little old road in this village, and I saw this Acadian flag. Now, the Acadian flag is like the rebel flag in the South. The French inhabited that region, and then the English came in and took it over. Well, they herded all the French up, put them in ships, brought them down to Louisiana and dumped them off in the bayou and said, drown, sink, or swim, we don't give a rip. Well, those French married up with the Indians, and that's where they call them Cajuns. Acadians is shortened for Cajuns. And they speak that French Creole down there. Well, this flag's flying. I just looked at it, and I looked under the flagpole, and here sits this guy in a chair. He just sitting there with his eyes closed, leaned back beside that flag like this right here. Holy Ghost said, stop and witness to him. So I told David and Lydia, I said, I'm going to witness that guy. So I just pulled off the side of the road, got out, took my Bible, walked down the street, walked up to him. I said, how you doing? And he jumped like that, and he looked at me, and he said, I'm doing pretty good. He said, who are you? I said, well, God sent me from Western North Carolina up to this region to tell folk about Jesus and how to be saved. He said, you ain't going to believe this. He said, you ain't going to believe it. He said, I was sitting in this chair with my eyes closed looking to heaven, and I was saying, if there's really a God in heaven, I want to know you. Would you send somebody my way? Hey, man, it happened as sure as I'm standing here, just exactly like that. I said, well, God's answered your prayer, and here I am. Opened the Word of God, told him about Jesus and all that, and old boy got down beside his little old chair and called on the Lord and asked God to save him. Come to find out, he had a mom and daddy that had come out of the Catholic church where he was a part of as well. And they'd joined the Baptist church on down the way, and they'd been after him, but he wouldn't listen to nothing they had to say. And then God sent another fellow there, another Baptist on top of that, and he got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I knew thee when thou wast under the Acadian flag. And I don't know if that fig tree is somewhere where maybe Nathaniel said, oh, Lord, if a Messiah's around, I sure would like to meet him. If a Messiah's around, God, I sure would like for you to get me in touch with him. I don't want it to be real. All this pizzazz, this fake junk, these people, they're following this one, that, and the other. Lord, I want it to be real. Something triggered him. And you know what? God knows how to pull your trigger. He knows how to pull sinners' triggers. Oh, Philip, what a blessing that he turned this fella over to Jesus. Jesus knows how to push the right buttons. Oh, all this easy believism, in control business today where men can psychologically introduce folk to the Lord and they become the important stand between and I'm the... That's foolishness. Jesus does His work. And we need to be meek enough and humble enough to turn them over and let the Lord do His work. Amen. Up in Kingston, Tennessee, a fellow that works for the National Guard Air Force, he works there every day. He said he came to that little old church, said a visiting evangelist was there preaching, said he preached. He said, I knew I needed to get saved. He said, I got in the altar. He said, little boy crawled in beside me. And he said, now, let's go down to Romans Road. And said, he read me down to Romans Road. He said, now repeat this prayer. He said, I repeated the prayer. No boy looked at me and said, now you're saved, aren't you? He said, no, I'm not saved. He said, you calling God a liar? He said, no, I'm not calling him a liar. He said, I said, no, I'm not saved. He said, it made that evangelist so mad that he could not see straight. But about a month and a half later, God birthed him in, and he got saved by the grace of God. Yeah. Now he's faithful and been faithful in there for years. I mean, loving God. But he said, I sure was glad I didn't let that old boy read me in. I'm glad I had enough sense to know that the Lord had to do that work in my heart, that it wasn't man just reading me in or psychologically telling me that I was saved. He said, now I know that I'm saved because I met Jesus for myself. And if you're without guile or without hypocrisy, without cunningness and slyness, you get honest with God and say, God, I need something real in my heart. I'm not trusting what man has done. I want you to do that work in my heart. And not be satisfied until he does that work in your heart. Glory to God. And here he goes in verse 49. Rabbi! Master! The Lord's mastering his doubts. I see two things. First of all, repentance. Number two is recognition. Repentance. In that he said, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Now that's a far cry from, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Repentance is a change of mind. Repentance is a change of attitude. Repentance leads to a change in action. Don't tell me there's no repentance in the Gospel of John. If there's a repentant man in the Gospel of John, it's Nathanael, from questioning and doubting, can anything good come out of Nazareth? How do you know me? To, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Yeah. That's repentance. Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. Then recognition. Thou art the Son of God. Not the son of Joseph. He got beyond Philip's mistake. He said, I'm sorry, Philip. You made a mistake. He's not the son of Joseph. You're the Son of God. Ain't no son of Joseph could say what he said and do what he did. Woo! He's more than that, and he acknowledges it as being the Son of God. And then he said, thou art the King of Israel. You are the ruler. You are the boss. You are the sovereign. You are the king. And I bow before your lordship. I'll be. You got repentance and lordship and revelation all in the same verse. Now how about that? Amen. But then look at the overwhelming master. Boy, he's mastered him there. Got the confession out of him. But the Lord said, you think that's something? Said, hi, you haven't seen anything yet. Verse 50, Jesus answered, said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Sure he did. But he said, thou shalt see greater things than these. Nathanael, this is just the beginning, son. And when you meet Jesus, it's not an end. It's just the beginning. Amen. You think he was great when he saved you? Oh, he's got much greater things. Amen. Fuller things. Richer things. Deeper things. In verse 51, now, you remember he called him an honest Israelite. Israel is Jacob. Name changed to Israel. Verse 51, he said, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You think that's great? I talked to you about the fig tree. You just wait till you catch hold of this. You're going to see Jacob's ladder and the fulfillment of Jacob's ladder. Old Jacob was there at Bethel and he had two stones for pillows and he laid there and slept and he dreamed that night about a ladder reaching from earth to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending, and he woke up and it scared him. He said, this is a dreadful place. This is none other than the gate to heaven. This is the way to heaven. Jesus said, you're going to see this way to heaven. and hanging between heaven and earth on an old Roman cross.
Yeah.
Jacob's ladder hung there.
That's right.
Glory to God, the heavens were open.
Amen.
One mediator between God and man.
Yeah.
The man Christ Jesus that got a hold of holy God.
Yeah.
And the Redeemer Christ Jesus that got a hold of lowly man. Yeah. Thank God the communication line was opened up from earth to heaven. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Oh, glory. Brother James, do you remember Henry Pierre? I preached a message on this line. Henry Pierre was a Catholic priest who got a hold of a Bible in France. And he read over in Revelation where you weren't supposed to take the mark of the beast and all that. And he said, I just sold everything I had and I determined I was going to try to live without money so that when the Antichrist come and told me to take the mark of the beast, I could prove that I didn't have to take the mark of the beast. I mean, some interpretation of the scripture, but anyhow, he's out there on the street. I don't know who witnessed to him. Did you witness to him? Somebody did, and invited, maybe Brother James witnessed to invite him in. He came in, and he came for several weeks. And one night, I was talking to old Henry, and wasn't getting much of anywhere with him. He was talking saints and this, that, and the other. I told him about Jacob's ladder. And I said, and I read him this scripture, and I said, you know who Jacob's ladder is? It's Jesus. And he's the only one that can reach from earth to heaven. And if you're going to get to heaven, you have to come through Jesus and Jesus alone. And it was like that little light bulb in a cartoon just went off in his head and his eyes got big. He said, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not saints. It's not angels. It's not even the church, is it? I said, no. He said, it's Jesus. He's the ladder. He's the ladder. He's the one that opened heaven.
Right.
He's how to get there. I said, you got it, Henry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Nathaniel, you're going to see all this, son. You're going to behold all this. This is just the beginning. I dissolved your doubts right here. And now I'm going to keep dissolving doubts all the way through. Hallelujah. Do you remember the day when God tamed your doubts? And you became a believer in Him who is the Son of God, the King of Israel, yea, Jacob's ladder. Thank God He's my mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That'll dissolve your doubts. Master's ministry of mastering men, your doubts can be laid at the foot of the cross. You can believe God and trust Him. Amen. Let's all stand.